to say thank you, Father, again for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father God, again, Lord God, for your mercies that are new every morning, Lord God. Thank you, Father, again, for the breath of life that's in our bodies, Father, and for one more day, Lord God, one more chance to walk with you in this world, Lord, to learn, Lord God, to know you, Father, to walk in eternal life. Lord, we thank you for that, Father, because it's a gift from you, Lord. So often, Father, we get distracted with the things of this world, Lord, and we forget even that the breath in our bodies, Father God, is on loan from you, Lord. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for this day. Lord, we come before you as your people. Lord, we come before you, Father, as those that are called by your name. Lord, we come before you as those that you've chosen unto yourself, Lord God. And Lord, we are with grateful hearts. Thank you, Father, for we did not choose you, but you chose us, Lord God, and called us, Lord God, to be yours. And so, Lord, this day, Father, we yield, Lord God, to your Spirit that calls us, Father. We yield, Lord God, to you, Lord. And we ask, Father, that your Spirit would strengthen us, Lord, in this walk. Strengthen us, Lord God, in this path that, Lord, you've drawn us into, Father. Strengthen us, Lord God, because, Lord, without your strength, Father God, the arm of flesh always fails. So, Lord, this day, Lord God, we wait on you, Lord, even as you said, those that wait upon you shall renew their strength. And so, Lord, we wait upon you, Father God. We wait upon you for the winds of your Spirit to mount us up like eagles, Father. Strengthen us, Lord, to run the race at hand. Father, in Jesus' name right now, as we come before you, we bind every demonic spirit. We bind every hindrance, Lord God, and we do cast it out. Father, we leave every care, every anxiety at your feet. Father, every worry and every concern, Lord, we put it before you, Lord. And we ask for your lordship in all those situations, Father, that you would just undertake for every one of those, Lord God, so that there's nothing, Lord God, that we just walk through with you, Lord, that there's nothing that would hold or hinder, Father, from the path that you desire for your people. And Lord, right now I acknowledge openly, Father, that there is nothing good in me but your Holy Spirit. And to that Spirit right now I do yield, Father. And we go forward, Lord, into this time. And we ask, Lord, that your Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth would speak to every heart and every mind and every spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you this morning. God bless you this morning. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And I want to develop out a little bit more of something you talked about recently. Okay, Matthew 16 and verse 13. It says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that the Son of Man, that I the Son of Man am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Yesus'un ආගේ සභාව ගොඩනගන්නෙමි. පාතාලේ දොරටු ඒක පරාජය නොකරන්නේ. ස්වර්ග රාජ්‍යයේ ඉතුරු යතුරු නුඹට දෙන්නෙමි. නුඹ පොළවේ යමක් බඳින්නේ ඒක ස්වර්ගයේදී බඳින්න ලබන්නේ. නුඹ පොළවේ යමක් හිතන්නේ ඒක ස්වර්ගයේදී මුදල් ලබන්නේ වේ උත් කිසේ.
Okay. Well, praise God. Okay, people are always asking, who is this Jesus? So was he a good teacher? Was he just a good man? Was he a type of all kinds of... People say, oh, he was a Buddha. He was an enlightened one. So people are always trying to figure out who this Jesus is. Because whether you believe he was who he said he was, or you don't believe it, one thing you cannot deny for sure is the impact that he made on this world. But people still have to wrestle with the fact of who is this Jesus? Is he really who he said he was or not? You know, recently there was a guy I was talking to and he said, you know, I believe that Jesus, he believed that Jesus was a good teacher. Then my question is, okay, what did he teach? You know, he believed he was a good man. Well, what did this good man say? Because in the end, when you dig into some of the things that Jesus said and some of the things that Jesus taught, if he wasn't truly that, there's a big problem. So when he says things like I am the and the Father are one, and when people called him the Son of God and he was like, yes, you got it right, there's a problem if he's not really telling the truth. So either he is exactly who he said he was, or he is one of the worst deceivers that's ever lived in history. In which case he could not be a good man, he would have to be a very evil person at that point. So people can't go in this nice little middle ground. You either go all the way with what he said, or you go all the way in the opposite direction. You have to either accept or reject. Okay, so Jesus speaking with his disciples, he says, okay, who do people say that I am? And the opinions start to come out. Now, so many times, we always have, people have opinions about someone else. Such and such is a good person. No, they're not. Their friend told me this thing they did when they were five. But people have opinions about someone. Now, you can have an opinion about something, but in the end, truth is truth. See, the unique thing about truth is that it never changes.
Mm-hmm.
So when God said, I am the Lord, I change not, He's also Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Truth never changes. See, that's something so beautiful about walking with Christ, is that you always have something that is unchanging when you're with Him. You know, at my house, there's a lot of books on the shelf, some of these from the 80s, from Christian books. And there's a very sharp distinction between those that were written in the Spirit of the Lord and those that were written as topical books for a time. See, anything done in Christ has an eternal value about it, an eternal, it's laced with eternity. So there's something timeless about it. Whereas things that are done in the world, even before they're put on the shelf, they're getting old. So I have a very good friend that told me one time regarding truth. He said, Govinda, he said, I'm not smart enough to lie. He said, Govinda, you know, when you lie, you always have to remember what you said last. And the lie builds on it. So the next time you have to lie for the lie to the lie, and then you have to have 5-6 lies and you have to remember all of them. And so a good lawyer, when they do this thing called cross-examining a witness, they check the facts because they know truth will always be the same story. So my friend told me, he said, Govinda, if when you lie, you always have to remember what you said last. But if you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said. So we are people of truth. And that's why too, we don't have to worry about what we said last, because it'll always be true. And there's something timeless about the people of truth. So Jesus now asking these guys, okay, who do men say that I am? Now, we talked a little bit about this recently, but the Catholic Church does this thing called apostolic succession. Succession. Okay, you know the Pope, yes? Everyone knows who the Pope is. Okay, this scripture here has been taken, and basically it says, okay, Jesus talking to Peter says, okay, you're Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now I want to show you also how a misinterpretation of scripture can do so much damage. In the Vatican in Rome, there's a wall where they have a list of all the popes going back to Peter. They call Peter the first pope.
Then Rome, Vatican,
And so basically what's said is that Jesus told Peter, okay, I'm going to build a whole church on you. And then from Peter, one pope, one pope, one pope, one pope, one pope, one pope, all the way to John Paul, to now Benedict the 16th. And so massive, an entire city built on this misinterpretation, an entire group of people all around each other, millions of people all over the world worshiping a man. Whereas what Jesus said to Peter, or if you look at it in the Greek, Jesus says, okay, thou, you are Petros, you're little rock in the Greek. And upon this Petra, big rock, I will build my church. So Peter was the little rock. What was the big rock? The big rock was verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, so the big rock of what the Church of the Living God is built on is that thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. This is the true Church of God is built on this. And so we know this. Those that are grounded in the foundation of Christ Jesus, no one understands this. So He is the cornerstone. He's the rock that we talks about when the storms come, that if anyone is built on the rock, they stand. So is anyone building their life on the Pope? No, it doesn't make sense. When you start cross-examining the misinterpretation, you see how it doesn't hold up. So you can check these things very easily. If somebody really wants to know, you can look through these things and you can find out the truth for yourself. So truth is truth. So that's why too, I have some lovely Catholic friends, I really love them, but I also have to talk with them straight, and if they understand, they also accept the truth of the scriptures. Because none of this is about labels, this is about truth, this is about Jesus. And Jesus, when He came into the world, He didn't set up a religion. In fact, He didn't even tell people to leave the synagogue. He said, a time will come when they'll throw you out. But you notice that He didn't tell them to leave. He said, they'll throw you out. The world doesn't have a place for truth. Okay, but this revelation that took place with Peter, how did it come?
Then
The Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, revealed something to Peter. Okay, the thing about the kingdom of God, where is the kingdom of God? Okay, where's the kingdom of God?
Inside.
Inside. Okay, Luke, yeah. Luke 17. Keep your finger in Matthew, but Luke 17 and verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Okay, so Jesus talking, everybody looking for the kingdom. Now, we know from Samuel, back when he was helping to select the next king of Israel, coming to anoint David, that God said to him, look, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. So it's always been like that. It will always be like that. Man will always look for something external. So Jesus being, people asking him, coming up saying, okay, demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. So the Pharisees coming up and saying, Jesus, you tell us, when is the kingdom of God going to show up? So when are we going to get something that we can see, Jesus? And also see according to the terms and the conditions they had created for themselves in their own head about how God should do things. See, they had an expectation of what this kingdom should be. And this expectation based on what this kingdom should be was also in part because of what the kingdom had been for them before with David and Solomon. They knew what it was to have a certain kind of kingdom. But you remember with that kingdom, even when God was allowing for the selection of Saul in the first place, that he said to Samuel, look, they have rejected me as their king. They don't want me to rule over them. So, but they want to be like the nations around them. Okay, I'll give them a king. But God's original desire for His people was always that they would not need an intermediary between them, that they could always go direct to Him and have His Lordship in their life. So, but the kingdom of God is also, there's a mystery of God that's being worked out in the world this day. So for example, there's a lot of things that God puts in the natural realm so that you can understand spiritual realities. So for example, when God says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they'll mount up with wings as eagles. So God, when He was making creation, knowing that someday you would need to understand a spiritual reality, made an eagle. So God, knowing the beginning from the end, knowing the whole thing, said, okay, one day these people that are called by my name will need to understand something. So I'm going to make a bird that when the storms come towards it, that it spreads its wings wide and catches the wind and flies above all of it. I'm going to make a bird that has amazing vision and sight and can see far better than they can as human beings, and that they're like that. So I'm going to make a bird that lives on the fresh meat, and that shows too that that's a revelation even of that it lives on the fresh word. Notice God didn't say that they will be, that those that wait upon the Lord will be like crows. No, God didn't say they'd be like crows. He's, in fact, when He was making creation, He said, you know what, there's not a bird that is a good enough example for what it is I want to teach them. I'm making an eagle. So even like that, we live. Your body is a living example of the kingdom of God. You realize that you walk around every day, every moment of your life in a living example of the kingdom of God. So, and you have your head, which instructs the entire body. And all of the different parts in the body receive the instruction from the head. And some things you're aware of, and there's a lot of things you're not aware of, but it's all managed by the head. So you have cells multiplying, you have waste being expelled, you have diseases that are being fought off, you have growth that's taking place, you have food that's being digested. And all the while you're having a conversation with someone else. And you're thinking about where you're going for lunch. So many things are taking place all at the same time within the body, all of it managed by the head. So thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the revelation. The kingdom of God is within. And see, throughout time, people have always looked for something external. Now, if man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, and if the world and the system of the world understands that the kingdom of God is within. If the kingdom is within, what would everything in the world seek to do? I'm speaking to the children of God. I'm speaking to those that are called by His name. If you are called by His name, and then the world recognizes that you are children of light, if the kingdom is within, where would the world seek to get all of your attention, all of your focus, everything? Would it want you going within?
Sorry?
No, would it want you going within? Within? No, all of the focus would be to get you without, outside. Okay, Matthew 13. And verse 18, this is the parable of the sower. Now the explanation. Says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one which catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and on with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30.
යමෙක් රාජ්‍යයේ වචන අසා තේරුම් නොගන්නේද ඔහුගේ සිතේ වපුල දේ නපුරා ඇවිත් උදුරා ගන්නේය. මග අසන වපුරන ලද්දේ නම් මොකුය. ගල්පින්වල වපුරන ලද්දේ නම් වචනය අසා එකිනෙනින්ම සන්තෝෂයෙන් පිළිගන්න තැනැත්තාය. එහෙත් සමාතුල වූ නැති බැවින් ඔහු මදහලක් පැවත වචනය නිසා හිංසාවක් හෝ පීඩාවක් හෝ පැමිණි කෙනෙහිම බාධා වන්නේය. අටුවසනෙහි වපුරන ලද්දේ නම් වචනය අසා ලෝකය ගැන වෙහෙසීමෙන්ද වස්තුවේ රැවටිලි කාරකමෙන්ද වචනය යටවීමෙන් ඵල නොදරන තැනැත්තාය. සරුපුවේ වපුරන ලද්දේ නම් වචනය අසා තේරුම්ගෙන ඵල දරන තැනැත්තාය. එක්කෙනෙක් සියක්ද එක්කෙනෙක් සැටක්ද එක්කෙනෙක් තිහක්ද බැගින් ඵල දෙන්නේ යයි කිසිය.
Okay, so the seed that falls on different soil. Notice that it's always the same word. Did anyone get a special seed? No, it was the same word that fell on all the different soils. So that same word goes forward with God's people. But notice how all of these people with different ones, it's in part the way that they relate also to the world they're living in. So for some of them, because life begins to get so tumultuous, it gets so up, they lose their trust in what God said.
ගමන් කරනකොට ඉතාම අමාරු කැන් වලට ඇවිල්ලා මේ වචනේ ඒගොල්ලන්ට ඵල දරන්න බැරුව ගියා.
Others, for because life starts going and they were walking strong. But then all of these things that start coming in them, around them, life starts swirling around them and they get caught up. And they get pulled without. You know, my dad likes to always say that scripture, the wise man digs deep. So he's going deeper and deeper within the earth. Deeper and deeper into the rock. And that's the wise man. Those that stay on the surface, those that allow their lives to remain there, when the winds come, when life swirls, stuff starts to fall apart. Okay, but there is a miracle that must take place in the heart of every person. And with Peter, Jesus highlights that when that took place. With Peter, when in Matthew 16 again, he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So the revelation took place within. And see, that's one thing that happens too. See, so often we want, because you care about people, you want certain things for them. Let me use a very simple example. All right, if somebody you know needs to exercise, so someone you know is they're not in very good health and all of this, and they need to exercise. Now you can go every other day to their house and say, you know, when are you going to start exercising? And this person can say, I know, I need to, yes, I know. But until something inside that person switches, where that person themselves inside says, you know what, I need to make a change here. So people can, and sometimes maybe if someone is there every day telling them, getting them out of bed, personal trainer, they might exercise, but as soon as that person leaves, that person stops. But when something is internal inside of a person, when it comes from within, it's very strong because it stays with that person throughout the life. So when Peter had a revelation of who Jesus Christ was, it was a beautiful thing. But his problem that he had there too was he still needed an empowering by the Spirit of God to walk that out. I think that's maybe why he wept so bitterly when he denied Christ, because he also knew exactly who he was.
ඒක නිසා වෙන්නේ නැති අර ඒ දන්නේ නැති කීප වෙලාවෙ යා ඇඬුවා ඇත්තටම ඇඬුවේ
And he realized that in his best intentions, on his best day, the arm of flesh will fail you and you will not be able to make it in the time of testing and trial. See, the people of God also recognize very openly that if it's not God carrying them, leading them, empowering them, we have nothing. See, in and of ourselves, we have no thing. We have no power in and of ourselves. We have no strength. We have no understanding in and of ourselves. We have no direction. We're completely lost without a Savior. But in Christ Jesus, we have all things. In Christ Jesus, we have authority over all things. In Christ Jesus, we have the power to be a witness, and we have the power that one person walking with Him can change a nation. In Christ Jesus, we have direction that comes from the Spirit of God, where, like John 10 said, we follow His voice. In Christ Jesus, He's the giver of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, so we receive wisdom from on high that's greater than anyone in this world would have. But all of this takes place within. See, different spiritual pursuits and paths in the world have understood this to a degree. And so you see a lot of ascetics in India, the Buddha himself went and separated himself from his castle and all of that. They went and they detached themselves to try to go within. But the problem is, without Jesus, you have a limitation to how far you'll go. And without God opening a person's heart and drawing them unto Himself, you can only go so far by your own human efforts. And someone can have some real spiritual experiences, but be careful, because those also have a lingering effect. So Peter, the revelation that came from God came within. Paul had a similar thing when he was talking in Galatians. He was saying, look, what I received I got from God. Now, Peter was allowed, he was given keys by Jesus to go and unlock the truth of the gospel of who Christ Jesus was to the Jews and to the Gentiles.
So,
So on the day of Pentecost, He revealed it to the Jews, and then at Cornelius' house, again to the Gentiles. But the beauty of those experiences were that within those hearts of all of those people, they were pricked in their heart, and they realized, and they said, "Brothers, what must we do to be saved?" Because within those people there was a revelation of who Christ Jesus was. And they chose in their free will to yield to the Lordship of Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus being the King, that we have the King and the dominion of the King, and they said, okay, we're under His dominion. Now, did the kingdom of God ever show up the way that the world and the Jews thought it would? No. The Roman Empire did eventually crumble. There's been new kingdoms that have come and gone. But yet Daniel had a revelation. He had a vision, and he'd seen this rock that was cut without human hands come and smash the idol that was a representative of all the Babylonian kingdoms. And that rock grew and filled the whole earth. God's kingdom has continued to grow and fill the whole earth to this very day. And where is that kingdom? Well, one is within the heart of every person that's had the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. And that's why too, for us, buildings don't mean anything really. You can have one, you don't need one. You're thrown in jail, you're the CEO of a major corporation, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what matters is that you know the King. John 17. And verse 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." So eternal life is not saying a prayer. It's not some external thing that people do. Now, usually when there's something external, it is a byproduct of something internal, but if it's not from within, it's just something for show. But for the people of God, we have a revelation of who Christ Jesus is. And Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, we walk out that revelation with Him. And as we walk this journey, that's one that takes place within more than anything else, that life and that walk results in us knowing and being consummated with the Spirit of God. And it's not about anything external, it's about you and your connection with your Creator. And you have to realize that in this, the world and the system of the world and everything in the world will work to keep you from that, will work to pull you to the external. So to get you wrapped up in activities, to get you to wrapped up in good things. But we know too that unless something is directed by the Spirit of God, then it's a work of vanity. See, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us all of the stuff in the world, every pursuit in the world, in the end is vanity. But God still calls us to be in the world, but not of the world. So we're in the world, and but while we're here, you allow the Spirit of God to direct everything that you do. So if you are working for a company, you do it because God says and puts it in your heart to be there. If you're preaching the gospel, you do it because the Spirit of God puts you there to do that. There's people that do ministry, but not because the Spirit of God has put them to do that. Those are works of vanity, because it's not coming from Him, it's coming from flesh. So it's very important that what we do is led and directed by the Spirit of God. And that comes from within. So we as God's people are part of that kingdom. And so it's to that kingdom and to that King that we yield. Lekin apni ye rajya tulad inne ye rajya sima tulin samay apni dekha.